Good evening, and once again, welcome to all who are here with us this evening. It is my hope that God will be glorified by the things that are said and that in our worship, that first and foremost, it is directed toward Him, and as we worship in spirit and in truth, that we are edified as a result of these particular efforts. I appreciate the prayer as well as the song that was just sung on my behalf, considering the message that we have before us that we are going to be addressing this evening. I want to tell you why I'm presenting this particular lesson, because as you know, dealing with the subject of authority is no stranger in this pulpit. It is emphasized on a regular basis, and as I said before, without apology, we need to be grounded in dealing with authority in various matters. Well, this past week, I actually received a phone call from one of the members here, and they were having a conversation with somebody, and basically the conversation was along the lines of, why do you think we need a pattern for everything that we do? And that is typically something that is asked of us as we start explaining, well, we don't use an instrument of music. Why? Because we look at the pattern that we have in the New Testament. Well, why do you need a pattern for that? Why is it that as a church you don't get carried up in all these social activities and you limit what you do as a church? Well, because we have a pattern in the Bible for what we are supposed to do. And that will cause people in the denominational world to say, well, why do you need a pattern? Why can't we, as long as we have good intentions, do whatever we want? And I'll take that a step further. You don't have to go into the denominational world to find that. There are so-called brethren that are doing things without authority. And they are beginning to call into question whether or not we actually need a pattern. When someone says something to the effect of, well, the Bible doesn't say we can't do that, they're really saying that the pattern is not important. When people look at the examples that we have in Scripture for what we do and how we do it, and they say, well, that's just one way to do it. That's just a suggestion. That's a rejection of patterns. So with that in mind, this evening, I just want to remind us why we need a pattern for everything that we do and why that is important. But before I actually do that, I want to make one more observation. As I noted that this lesson is based upon a phone call that I received this week. Well, if you all have some subject that you would like for me to address, if you have a question about something, let me know. Ask about it, and I'll see if it's something that I can build into a lesson, or maybe I'll get two or three questions, things that are not necessarily a full lesson, but we can address those things from the pulpit according to God's Word. And so if you have questions about some things, feel free to ask me. I have a few spaces, throughout the month, Sundays that are not specifically devoted to certain things that I can address. And if it's, I don't want to say important enough, if it's urgent, it could be addressed with that as well. So anyways, so I just give that as an invitation to all who are members of this congregation. If you have questions, feel free to ask, and we'll see what we can do in giving some answers for that. Because chances are, if you have a question, somebody else has that same question in one way or another. Okay, but on to the lesson at hand this evening about the importance of patterns. Mainly the reason why we need a pattern is because the Bible talks about patterns. As we just sang in this song, based upon Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That expression, in the name of the Lord, means by the authority that the Lord gives you. And that's what we need to do, and that's the attitude that we need. And as you study Scriptures, you will find that the Bible is full of examples of patterns, and we see the importance of patterns. The very word pattern in the Greek language, and we're going to look at a number of passages here, is a Greek word tupos, or tupos, and if you understand, that's a word from which we get the word type. And if you think of the word type, what is a type? A type of something is a pattern of whatever that is. And what it's a word is, it means a model, in the case of what we're dealing with, is a model of behavior, which is an example that is either to be imitated or avoided. In other words, you're given a model that you are expected to follow. That's what a pattern is. And as I said, the Bible talks extensively about that. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 17, here we have Paul speaking to these brethren, and he says to them, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." And that's this word that we're talking about here, tupos. You have us as a pattern. The apostles, as they taught, they were examples of that which Jesus had taught. And they were a pattern that we were to follow after. That tells us that what they teach us, we are to apply as it applies in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 13, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 13, Paul there says to Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Hold fast the pattern of sound words. So again, it indicates that there is a pattern that we are to be following after. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 7, and I realize here that the context of this is he's dealing with younger men and the example that they are to be, and this is in a context where he gives instructions to older men, younger men, older women, younger women, and various qualities that we need to possess within our lives. And he says there to these young men in verse number 7, "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." He says, hold forth your example in life as a pattern of good works. So the emphasis is there is we need to be in, we need to have a pattern in our lives. And there is a pattern that we are to follow after. And as we continue to look at passages in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse number 5, and I want you to turn over here because this is a significant context that deals with the subject of patterns. And to give you the context behind what you are dealing with here, this actually goes back to before chapter 5, where Paul is introducing how Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then after that, he enters into this, what I call a sidebar. You know, he enters into a side discussion where he gives them a loving rebuke. You ought to be teachers by this time, but you're not. And he talks a little bit about that, and then he gets back into chapter 7, and he starts talking about how Jesus is a high priest. But in order for Jesus to be a high priest, there has to be a change in the law, because Jesus could not be a high priest after the old law. Now he goes on, and as he explains these things, one of the points that he makes there concerning the service of the high priest is he says that when Moses built the tabernacle, that he was given a pattern. And he talks about how Jesus Christ, in verse number 4, if Jesus were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Moses was given a blueprint for the tabernacle. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes when we see examples. So just kind of mark this passage in your mind, but I want you to note that the Hebrew writer is emphasizing, see that you do things according to the pattern. Do you think that God had something in mind when he said that? I do. I think so. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 17. Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 17. Earlier in this chapter, Paul has talked about how we are baptized and when that we're buried with Christ through baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life just as Christ was raised from the dead. And this is in a passage where he's emphasizing that when you obey the gospel and you're immersed, you're putting to death the man of sin. And you're supposed to come out of that water a new creature. Well, he goes on later on in that chapter in a passage that I believe that is actually talking about that. He says there in verse number 17, he says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." And he's talking about that form of doctrine. That word form, it's the idea of a pattern. Going back to talking about baptism. From the heart, you obeyed the gospel. That's really what he is saying in that particular text. Another passage to consider is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 6. And in this particular passage, Paul is talking about how not to act. And he's going to the example of the children of Israel in the wilderness and showing some ways that they were rebellious against God. And twice in this text you read this. In verse number 6, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted." So you look at the example of the way that they lived and you have a pattern how not to act. You go down to verse number 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages have come." They're examples for us. They are a pattern for us to follow. And then you have Hebrews chapter 9, and in verse number 24, going back to our text in Hebrews, and in this particular text here, the Hebrew writer is continuing to deal with who Jesus is. And one of the points he makes there in Hebrews 9 and in verse number 24, he says it was necessary, verse 23, "that copies of the things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Jesus has entered into heaven, and he talks about heaven is the real thing. Not the earthly sanctuary, which is a copy, or if you will, a pattern of heaven. And that's an important thing to understand. Now, these last three verses, there's a reason why I selected these verses using different words. Form, example, and copy. If you have a Greek Bible, you will notice that the root of all of those words is that same word as pattern in all the other verses that we looked at. Tupos. So, these are talking about patterns. So we can see that the Bible emphasizes over and over verses that talk about patterns. And that within itself tells us that we need a pattern for what we do. And if you look at scriptures, you will actually find that there are a number of different examples of patterns in scriptures. And let me tell you one of the most significant examples of a pattern. It's called God's plan of salvation. We sometimes call it the scheme of redemption. The plan of redemption. Do you think that God just off the cuff developed what he was going to do for the forgiveness of our sins? Not according to what we read in scriptures. You read in Ephesians chapter 3, and this is a text that we've addressed not too long ago, where you make the point in verse number 10 that to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church was in God's plans all along. Or let's just say it another way. God had a blueprint for our salvation. The church was a part of His blueprint. The church was not an afterthought. Not something temporarily put in place until Jesus comes back, as some want to teach, and reestablishes the kingdom on this earth, or establishes the kingdom on this earth. That's not what the Bible teaches. The church was God's pattern all along. It was a part of His blueprint. It was a part of His plans. And that's one thing you find emphasized throughout Scriptures. And that's pointed out throughout the New Testament. But we have other examples. Going back to the Old Testament, you know, we read a few moments ago, these things happened to us as an example. Romans 15 and verse number 4 tells us the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Well, let me ask, were patterns important under the old law? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, you have here an example of Noah, where the God has decided that He is going to destroy the world by flood. But Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord because Noah is not like the world. Noah is righteous. Noah respects the laws of God. And so the Lord appears to Noah and He tells Noah, I want you to build an ark. And He says here in verse number 16 of or 14 of this text, here He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the doors of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower second and third decks. Because I'm going to destroy the world. So God gives Noah very, very specific instructions. He tells him what type of wood. He tells him how big it's to be. And a cubit, in case you wonder, is about 18 inches. So take that number and multiply it by 1.5. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. 3 stories, 1 window, 1 door. Covered with pitch inside and out. God gave Moses very specific instructions. He gave him a pattern. And you will notice in verse number 22, the reason that the Lord could come to Noah is because of the attitude of Noah. You read in verse number 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded, so he did. Noah obeyed God. God gave him a blueprint and he followed it. That's what you have in the example of Noah. Now, let's turn over to the book of Exodus. And this goes back to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, where Moses was told to build a tabernacle where he said, see that you do it according to the pattern. In Exodus chapter 25, and bear in mind, in Exodus chapter 25, they are at Mount Sinai. And Moses is receiving instructions from the Lord. And he's given instructions for the building of the tabernacle and various other things. You read in verse number 9 of Exodus 25, it says, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. God gave specific instructions. And if you read the text, you actually find that God provided gifted artisans to make sure that it was done the right way. You think there was a reason why He did that? You know, when you contrast how, go back to the Hebrews, and it talks about the heavenly versus the earthly tabernacle. Maybe God had something else in mind when He gave specific instructions. He gave Moses a pattern. And you read in verse number 40 of chapter 25. See to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Follow the pattern. In chapter 26 and in verse number 30, and I don't think this is on your outline, he says, and you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You had a pattern. You were given a pattern. Follow the pattern. Now going to the New Testament, not only do you have Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, but even Stephen, when he is speaking to the religious leaders in Acts chapter 7 and in verse number 44, Acts chapter 7 and in verse number 44, one of the things that he emphasizes to them is he says there, in that particular verse there, He says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Stephen is emphasizing the importance of that pattern, and he's going to say, you all broke it. Or, you know, you rejected God's law. You rejected God's pattern. That's the point he's making. But he's making the point that God gave specific instructions, and he expected those instructions to be followed. Let's go back to the Old Testament, though, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And what you have in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 is, years later, about 500, somewhere in that neighborhood years later, David has been king, and David has requested permission of God to build a temple, to build a house for God, and God grants him permission to do that. However, he says that you're not going to do it, your son is going to do it. Nevertheless, David makes the preparations for the building of the tabernacle. And what we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, these instructions. It says here in this text, then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its house, its treasures, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries and so on. He makes the point that he was given plans by the Spirit. And you go on and you read in verse number 19 of that text. It says, and this said David, the Lord has made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. Let me ask you, did the temple of Solomon have a blueprint from God? Did the tabernacle have a blueprint from God? And the answer is yes. Patterns are important. And we find that as an example. And there's a number of other ways that you can look at patterns and you can see how important they are. And I'm just going to mention one negative example. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to talk about Nadab and Abihu here. But I want you to notice the background behind the problem that Nadab and Abihu have. In Leviticus chapter 16 and in verse number 12, these are the instructions that are given. It says here, in verse number 11, Aaron's supposed to bring a bull and an offering. And then it says, and then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. It's to bring fire that came from where? Fire that came from the altar before the Lord. Now, if you do a further research, you will find that when the tabernacle was built, that God lit that fire. It was lit by God. Now turn over to Leviticus 10. In Leviticus 10, chapters 1 and 2, in Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, we read there, it says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took his censer and put fire in it, put incense in it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now here you have Nadab and Abihu offering a sacrifice. They're putting fire on their censer. Where did that come from? I don't know, but there was something wrong. There was a pattern given, and in some way, Nadab and Abihu had not followed the pattern that God established. And they were burned to death on the spot. And there's several examples of that in scriptures. Uzzah, touching the ark, struck dead by God on the spot. Why? Because God gave a pattern. God gave instructions and they did not follow those instructions and they paid the consequence. So we need to understand when God gives us a pattern, it's important. Now here's an observation to realize. You may not know why God has specified what He has, and you know, You may not understand. God's laws concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, as outlined in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 9, is very, very strict. And according to that, there are people that have no right to be married or to marry again. Like it or not, you may not understand it, but you don't have to understand it. It's still what God says to do. And when God sets a pattern, we must respect His pattern. Whether we understand it or not, we have no right to question Him. As you read in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In Romans chapter 9, this is where Paul is talking about how God's turned to the Gentiles, which actually was in His pattern all along. But you find here in Romans chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, He asks this question concerning those who are challenging going to the Gentiles. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? He's saying there, don't question God. That's the point that he is making. Now, God in His Word has given us patterns to follow after. And when somebody asks, why do we need a pattern? It's because God tells us we need a pattern. And that's the simple reason. Now we can take this further and we can ask, you know, do we really need a pattern? And this goes back to, is it really that important? Is it really that important that we follow a pattern? Well, I want us to just notice a few observations. The first question I want to ask is, how far are you willing to take that statement? You know, if you want to, we don't need a pattern. You know, what we have is just simply examples. Well, how far are you willing to take that? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that we need the Bible? You know, there's a lot of people out there say, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. You don't have to believe in the God of the Bible. You can believe in Allah. You can believe in one of the Eastern gods. You can believe that the world is a god as long as you're loyal. Because God's going to save you as long as you're sincere. Are you going to go that far when you say, why do we need a pattern? Or patterns are not important? Well, wrong. What about, do you need to believe in Jesus? Same question. Is it important that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Or, does God really care what you believe? Do you want to say that God doesn't care at all what you believe? Or, does God approve of division in His name? Because isn't someone who is saying that there's not a pattern, isn't one really saying that you can do whatever you want, and if you believe one thing and we believe something different, and we're divided on some subject, that's perfectly fine? These are the consequences of saying that we don't need a pattern. And I ask you that question, how far will you take that? Now let's take that a step further, and I ask this, are you willing to risk your eternity on that? Because that's really the point. Are you willing to risk an eternity burning in hell because you said, I don't want to follow God's pattern? That's serious, friends. That's a serious observation. You know, I'm reminded of Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 1. As he's writing to these brethren, he says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write these things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. I'm writing these things to protect you. In Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus brings the Sermon on the Mount to its conclusion, Matthew chapter 7, and this is a sermon, and as I understand the theme of this sermon, he's saying, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And that's really the premise of much of what he says in this sermon. But as he comes to a conclusion, beginning in verse 21, we read there, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You know what Jesus is saying as he concludes his lesson? He's really saying that there's a pattern that you got to follow. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what my Father says." Lip service is not enough. "But Lord, I believed in you." "No, I didn't do what you said, but I believed in you." Is that enough? You build your house on the rock. You build your house on the foundation that is Jesus and on His teachings. The foundation that He laid. That's the wise man. That's the way Jesus concluded His lesson. You've got to do what God says. So patterns are extremely important according to Scriptures. And you could just look at a number of passages. And I just want to mention a couple as we begin to bring this lesson to its conclusion. Number one, John chapter 12 and in verse number 48. In John chapter 12 and in verse number 48, Jesus there is speaking. And He says this here. He says there, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Let me ask you, if we have no pattern, what are we going to be judged by in the last day? You know, Jesus said we're going to be judged by what He spoke. But if you say that a pattern's not important, that means we don't have to listen to what He said. What He says is just a suggestion. Is that what you want to risk your salvation or base your salvation upon? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 10. And actually we've got three or four of them here in 1 Corinthians. Here Paul is challenging these brethren to be united. And he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Let me ask you, Paul says, let there be no divisions among you. He says, speak the same thing. How can you speak the same thing if you don't have a pattern to follow? If no pattern is important, how is it that you can avoid division? We have to have something that brings us together. If we're going to speak the same thing, that same thing has to come from a source. Now the question is, where is that source? Another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 1. Paul there says in that text, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." And in that text, and actually I've got the wrong one down there. I've got 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6 is what I'm talking about in that particular text there. But the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, he makes the point there that when he says imitate me, isn't Paul saying, and as we've already pointed out, you have us as a pattern, follow that pattern. You need to follow the example that you have. And then you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, you find here that Paul makes this statement. "These things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another." Let me ask you, as you look at that text, Paul says, do not think beyond what is written. What is he saying? Paul is saying that there are boundaries. And he's saying that God has set boundaries right here. And don't step beyond that boundary. John emphasized the same thing in 2 John verses 9 through 11. 2 John verses 9 through 11. John there said in that text, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Son and the Father. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." The idea of transgressing is to go beyond. It's to violate the boundary. That's what transgressing is about. And he says, the law of Christ has been set. We have no authority to step beyond that. And I want us to understand this very, very clearly, because this is where some of the problem happens. Silence is not permission. Now you hear me clearly on that, because you know when people talk about there's other ways to establish authority today than command, example, necessary inference. Well, God didn't say we couldn't do it. Again, I ask the question, do you want to base your eternity on what God didn't say I couldn't? Be very careful with that. We could do an entire lesson on the dangers of the silence of Scripture when God says nothing. Let me tell you right now, when God says nothing, you wait until He says something. And if He doesn't say it, don't do it. It's just that simple. Now, in each of these examples and others, we can see that it is imperative that we understand the will of God. And I've just given you a handful of passages. You can go throughout the New Testament, and there are so many passages where you just simply ask the question, if I follow this, does it mean that I need a pattern? And if I don't need a pattern, then I've got to throw this out. How much of the Bible would we have to cut out and dismiss if patterns are not important? So we can see very much that we need a pattern for everything that we do. God expects us to understand His will, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And I will tell you right now that if you want to come down to the ultimate consequence of this, if we don't need a pattern, then why do we need the Bible? Really think about that. And I know that there are some today that want to say that's exactly right. We don't need the Bible. But do you want to risk your salvation on that? We know better. We need the Word of God. We're told in 2 Timothy 3 that all Scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We need the Word of God. And to say God's Word, or what God tells us to do and how God tells us to do something is not important, is to reject the pattern of God's Word. Let us never be guilty of that. Let me tell you what the real issue is when somebody asks this, or sometimes. It's often a matter of there's something that they're told in Scriptures that they don't want to follow. The Bible tells them they got to change and they don't want to change. And so you either have to change your behavior or change what it says. And too many today will simply say, well, it doesn't mean what it says. And what a danger that is. So there you have it. May we in all that we do follow the pattern of God. Open your Bibles now.